Our scripture today begins at verse 1 of chapter 17 of the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel writer says, 6 days later, which of course begs the question, what took place 6 days before? Jesus preached and taught all day, and the people were hungry. So he fed them. So we have the great preacher, teacher, miracle worker. And then his authority is questioned. And so he addresses that. This is all chapter 16. And then the turning point. He tells the apostles the Son of Man must die, be handed over to sinners to die, so that he may rise in three days. And Peter says, oh, no, that can't happen. That will not happen. Of course, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, for the Son of Man must go where the Son of Man is called, and you must take up your cross and follow me. So 6 days later, Jesus took with him that same Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came over and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, how good it is that we should be here. Normally, in a sermon, we read the text and then enter into the text and come away with a personal connection that parallels with our lives. But this one's kind of hard to do that. We get glimpses of glory, absolutely, and when we song that touches us, or on an Easter Sunday morning that you may remember, or when we touch the face of a newborn, or see the glorious sunrise over the Rocky Mountain majesties, we get glimpses of glory. But here on the mountain, Peter, James, and John see the resurrected Jesus. Interestingly enough, when the gospel writer Mark tells of this story, he puts it right in the middle of the gospel. This is a turning point. We have Jesus, preacher, teacher, miracle worker, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, all of that. But now we turn and we get the risen Lord. The end of the story, as Miss Sid said. The end of the story, the risen Lord. We get the glimpse of his wonder and his awesomeness and his exaltation. Lord, it is good for us to be here. It's no wonder he wants to build three booths, Peter does. Three dwellings to keep us all here. We're on the mountain. We have raised up to the mountain, and here we are. And we want to stay here. This is a good place to be. Given half a chance, that's where I would live my life, on the mountain. A couple of weeks ago, 13 of our high schoolers and two of our youth leaders climbed Mount Transfiguration, and they took part in the high-altitude retreat. And like Peter and James and John, they had a mountaintop experience. They saw the glory of Christ in worship, in sharing, in teaching, and darn near as much perfection as we humans can muster. So I'm going to ask those who are here to come up and tell us about it.
Yes. High altitude high school retreat. So we took 12 high schoolers. Kira and I took them. We went up to Crooked Creek Ranch near Winter Park. Snowed the whole trip. It was really cold, really awesome. We went through the life of David during the retreat. And really, you know, we went to this a couple times a day. We go to this thing called the Gathering, where, you know, there's 600 high schoolers, crazy intense worship. We do lots of crazy fun things, and then we hear a message. And throughout the weekend, we go through each step and each piece of David's life, and then we bust out of that and go to our family time. So we meet together as a close church and talk about certain things. And I thought it was amazing. It was amazing. And we really broke down a lot of walls and became a lot closer as a group. Special kudos to Aaron, though. He won the foosball championship.
Hey!
You guys want to say anything? It's always good to have a reminder that God is the most powerful being in the universe. And when you are there, you are reminded that he is the most powerful being in the universe. And you really can't do much without him.
For sure. Yes, powerful worship, good food, great community. It was a lot of fun. We grew together so much as a youth group and met a lot of people. I was reminded the other day, I ran into a friend I met up there, and it just brought a smile to my face. We just had so much fun. It was a good time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Jason. Now, I know that the young people, like Peter, James, and John, would have loved to stay up there. Lord, it is good that we are here. But the apostles and the youth group and none of us live on the summit of the Rocky Mountain High. We all know that life is not spent in the mountain, on the mountain. Most of life is spent neither in the valley. We don't spend most of life either in the valley or on the mountaintop. We just don't. We spend life on the plains of everyday life. And in everyday life, we experience the glory of Jesus in our lives. We encounter the glory of the Son of God daily. Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the Gospels, the followers of Jesus don't experience the glory of God all that often in Jesus Christ until all of a sudden they do. They find Christ in the everyday, in the mundane. Government's taking a census. We got to go to Bethlehem. And that fulfills all the prophecies of the beautiful Christmas story. The shepherds are out in the fields night after night, thousands of times, before and after. Only this time they encounter the heavenly host and meet the Son of God. Jesus is just walking down the beach. And he calls out, "Hey." And the fishermen are doing what fishermen love to do least. They're sitting in the boat in the hot sun, fixing their nets. "Hey, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women." It's a wedding party. They're hanging out at a wedding, drinking good wine, enjoying. And suddenly, the first of Jesus' miraculous signs. Meeting at night, a good Presbyterian meeting at night with Nicodemus. And we are given the greatest verse, the most memorable verse in history. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have life eternal. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him." Jesus is tired, he's hot, he's hanging out at the well, and he encounters the Samaritan woman. And reveals for us that he is the living water. And if we drink of him, we will never thirst again. He's having supper at Peter's house. His mother-in-law's giving him a hard time. And suddenly we're in a time of healing and miracles and conversion. The dreaded tax season is upon us. And Jesus goes and visits Levi the tax man. We come to know him in his conversion as the gospel writer Matthew. Trip across the Sea of Galilee. These are fishermen by trade. They've done it a gazillion times. Only this time they encounter Jesus walking on water. Simply walking through the crowded street, he heals the woman who's been hemorrhaging for years. sitting there eating his pita bread and his lamb chop, not paying attention to much, he reveals to the Syrophoenician woman that salvation is not just for the Hebrew people, but for all of humankind. It's a quiet holiday celebration, and it turns into the Last Supper, where he gives us his body and blood. And Mary goes to the cemetery to visit a friend's grave. And she encounters the risen Lord. Master, how good it is that we should be here. Most of life is not on the mountaintops. It's not in the valleys. It's when we come down the mountains and live on the plains. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories about living on the plain, because I encountered Christ in this story, and it really did start with great dread. The boys were 3 and 6 years old. It was Christmas, and we had to go to my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, to visit my dad. Now, Christmas Eve 2003 was a mountaintop experience. We are worshiping in Kim's church in Panama, Nebraska. Population of the town, 275 if you count all the pets. And about in the church had about 80 people, and we were full to the brim that night. It was midnight Christmas Eve, and Kim begins the worship service, and the lights go out all over town. It was darkness. So we had the candles. We had a candlelight service. It was perfect. We sang a cappella. The organ, he had to plug the organ in to make it work. So we sang a cappella. We had the mountaintop experience. Lord, it is so good for us to be here. None of us wanted to leave. It was past midnight. None of us wanted to leave. But we had to catch a plane in the morning to go to Cleveland, Ohio. My dad passed away in 2008. He was serious, he was hardworking, he was loving, he was quick to anger, and quicker to forgive. He had a great sense of humor, and on the outside, that man was as rough as sandpaper. There's still a blue haze over Cleveland where he used his language. Wow. But as I learned as an adult, he was a softie. He was just a soft guy. Now, he lost most of his hearing during World War II thanks to a Nazi hand grenade, and most of the rest of his hearing working at the Ford assembly plant for the next 30 years. Now, we're getting ready to visit with him, and I'm, like, really apprehensive. Mom had passed in 2002. This was our first visit back to Cleveland since then. And as Dad aged, he became more and more a creature of habit. He ate at a certain time. He used the restroom at a certain time. He did this on a certain day. And so I was really worried that we were going to mess up his routine. As I said, the boys were 3 and 6, and with the boys at that age, and Kim and the boys still today, routine is never routine, never. And so I was really apprehensive. And since he couldn't hear, I was worried that he was never going to hear a word the boy said, all that stuff. So we get to his house on Christmas Day, and he immediately sets the tone for the whole visit. Boys are sleeping in my bed, most comfortable bed in the house. There's no discussing with my dad. Okay, Dad. And then I'll sleep in Steve's room. That's the second most comfortable bed in the house. Thank you. We slept in the spare room, Kim and I. And that set the tone for the whole visit. As the week progressed, the boys were a mess, and they made a mess out of the house. One of them would be in the bathroom when Dad wanted it. Supper was either really early or really late. And whenever Chuck or Matt said anything to him, he'd look and say, "I didn't quite get that. What's that?" And then we'd shout out a translation to him. And Dad drove me crazy. Every night we took Matt to bed, put him to bed, and every night, 6 times, he'd come down the stairs and look in, and Dad would go, "Whoops, there he is again. This is the man, if I wasn't asleep within 3 seconds of hitting the bed, I'd get in trouble." So everything that we were worried about came true. Every single one of our fears was realized that week. Every single one of them. Dad never did hear a word the boy said or even what Kim said. So I guess I have the big loud voice in the family. The boys made a mess out of the house. His routine was shot. And he loved it. It turned out to be the last visit we had with Dad, and it was a great visit. The boys reconnected with Grandpa. Kim and I delighted with being with him. Lord, it is so good for us to be here. It was a plains experience, but it became a mountaintop experience. The Lord God, our Father, does not wait for us on the mountain, waiting for us to climb up and come to visit. The Lord is not just waiting for us to come to Him. And He's not waiting for us to go down to the valley where we pull out our shopping lists of needs. The Lord is with us at all times and in all circumstances on the plains, walking with us, walking hand in hand with us. The Lord wants us to interrupt our routine. Interrupt His routine if God has one, but it's really our routine. He wants to hear from us, be a part of our lives when we're way up here, way down there, and that most of the time in between. And our prayers don't have to sound perfect to our ears. They don't even have to make sense to us. God does the translating. God makes them perfect. We might not be ordered or perfect or on a Rocky Mountain high at every minute of every day, but God delights in us when we are on the plains with Him, when we have come down the mountain, when chaos reigns around us, God is here. When joy reigns, God is here. When we're just kind of hanging out, God is here. And when we make a mess of things, God is here. God is a part of us time and time again. Master, Lord, how good it is that we are here. We know God and we are loved by God. Whether we're on the mountaintop in His glory or whether we're down in the shadow of death and need comfort, we know that God is with us when we're simply going along every day. Whether we are with God on mountaintops or on plains and where we work and live most of our lives or down where we need care, no matter where we find ourselves, we should always cry out, Lord, it is good for us to be here.